I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to us tonight. Not be my words, but your words will penetrate our heart, sink deep in. Lord, we'll bear fruit in due season. Just pray that you will be with us. You will knock off those rough edges of all of us. Lord, you'll also empty us of ourselves and fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we will go out more like you than when we came in. Pray this in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Amen. So I've been praying recently just about what to speak about, what to say, where the church needs to go, where we need to be as a people. And I think every time we look at how we're supposed to be, it's good to look at the scripture, good to look about what Jesus said and did, good to look at what the apostles said and did, how things were done back in the original church as well. I think the scripture has to be our plumb line in every instance. Not the way we think or feel, not the way it's been done before, in one sense, but look at how it was done before in a biblical sense, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And I've had a little help with this sermon by reading a book years ago and reading a little bit more of it recently. It's called The Normal Christian Birth by David Pawson, which is a good way. He's a Bible teacher and has a good way of explaining the normal Christian birth in accordance with the scripture. And there's a way we can remember 4 points. We think of rubber. Can anybody spell rubber? I know if we're from Cumbria or Ireland, you might not be able to spell that. But rubber, R-U-B-B-E-R. If we take out the vowels, R-B-B-R. The first one, repent. The second, believe. The third, be baptized. And the last, receive the Holy Spirit. Rubber, if you remember it like that. So with the vowels out. So repent of your sin towards God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water and receive the Holy Spirit. And that pattern we can see throughout the Gospels, and throughout the epistles, and very much in Acts. A lot of the epistles, they talk about church theology, which is really good, and how a church should be run. But in the book of Acts, we see played out a lot of the expansion of the church and how God moved and how the Holy Spirit used the disciples to spread the gospel and the things that they said to the people around them. And I think we can learn a lot from that. And the beginning of all of this is repentance. So the first one, repent of your sins towards God. Now, I know I've said it many, many times in the church about looking at how many of the prophets, the apostles, Jesus, John the Baptist, began their ministry with repentance. If you read about, the Old Testament, often the prophets were speaking to the people about repentance. And I spoke about Isaiah a few weeks back, and Isaiah picked out some people within the community, and it's very much like people in our community today. He picked out the men who were trusting in the military power. They weren't spending so much time with their families and developing them. They were interested in money. Talked about the children who were disobedient. And he talked about the women who minced as they go. We have any women that mince as they go with outstretched necks, who were more concerned with their outward appearance than their inward appearance. In Isaiah, it talks about the men, which says, woe unto them for the men who are mighty at mixing their drinks. That sounds like today. Society, women are involved, I'm not talking generally here. their looks come most importantly. The men are cheered on because of how much they drink, and the children can be very disobedient. So the Old Testament prophets spoke out against this behavior within society. When it comes to the New Testament, it doesn't change. John the Baptist, the first words that we hear him preach are repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jesus had spoken a sermon before, but then it says, when Jesus began to preach, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he sent out the 72 disciples, they went out preaching repentance and preaching about the kingdom of heaven. Also, on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached the sermon, basically preached the gospel, and it says the people were cut to the heart. And what's the instruction that he gave them? Repent and be baptized. The first step of the normal Christian birth, the R, is repentance. And people can go. We've taken many young people to many different events and different Christian meetings where it's been very emotional. And nothing wrong with emotion. And they go down the front and they say, I want to follow Jesus, but there's not much repentance. The first one, as the Old Testament prophets spoke, as John the Baptist spoke, as Jesus spoke, as Peter spoke, is about repentance. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, he often mentions repentance. We can have feelings of remorse. We can have tears of regret. I think repentance is we know that we've hurt the heart of God. We don't do things again because we love God and know that he hates sin and it breaks his heart when we sin. 2 Corinthians 7 says, godly sorrow leads to repentance. We've truly repented when we know we've sinned against a holy God. When we've gone against everything that he has set out for us, the way that he made us to be. Society tries to do the complete opposite, even to the point of changing genders. I think it's a big rebellion against God. But we've all done it in certain ways. God has told us one way if we have gone the other way. And when we know that we've hurt the heart of God, and we change our mind and our thinking and change our actions, that's when we've repented. Repentance literally means a change of mind. If you look in the dictionary, I read it every night. Not really. It means a change of mind. That's what repentance means. When our mind is changed, when we know that we've hurt God, that's when we've repented. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we come into the presence of God, and you know, I think repentance is when we see how great God is. We see how sinful we are. And even our best efforts do not compare with God. Again, in the book of Isaiah, it says our good deeds are as filthy rags to God. Even our best efforts are as filthy rags. That's how it's described in the Bible. You know, our best efforts is filthy rags. Now, in modern times, we've sanitized this phrase, filthy rags. A lot of scholars believe we're like a woman's monthly pad. This is our best efforts. Here, God. Paul, when he was talking about his life, he was like the Pharisee of all Pharisees. Everything he did in the eyes of men was good. The Pharisee of Pharisees taught in the synagogue since he was a little boy, knew the scriptures, prayed daily, maybe many times a day, done all the things that we think we should do, a religious man. And he said he considered all these things dung. There's other ways to describe this word. He considered them dung before God, before knowing Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ, knowing that our efforts are nothing. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Everything is about Jesus when we come to repentance. Nothing we do earn salvation except through Jesus Christ. When we realize that He is so good and we have fallen so far short, when we receive His death upon the cross and believe upon Him, that's when we've repented, when we've realized there's nothing of ourselves. We change our mind. We confess our sins, part of it. Lord, I trust in You. I know there's nothing that I can do that will earn my salvation. The Bible also talks, if these things are in place, then the Bible, in both Luke and Acts, it talks about the deeds of repentance. If we really repented, our deeds will change. And we will become more like Him. So the first one tonight is repentance. R. Second one, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith comes from the knowledge that Jesus Christ was a real person who walked the earth, who was born of a virgin, who showed us the way, who was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He began his ministry. He did many mighty miracles under the instruction of his Father, who died a cruel death and who rose again. We know these because we believe in those, because it's written for us in Scripture, and we also know from history. There's far more evidence about Jesus' life on earth than there is many other historical characters. We know that Jesus walked the planet. And we know by faith because the scriptures tell us that he died on a cross and that he rose again. Isn't that amazing that Jesus rose again? Just whilst I remember, I want you to pray for me this week because I'm doing assemblies in Ullswater School. And because it's coming up to Easter, I have the chance to share the gospel. Now, each assembly that we do, we always mention a Bible verse, and we mention God in some way, but we're cautious. I think we're as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But coming up to Easter, I'm going to go for it this week to a sort of new level. So I need to be even wiser than a serpent and even more gentle than a dove. But I'm going to share the gospel with over 1,000 young people over the course of this week. So you start off year 7. And there, so that'll be tomorrow. Year 8, Tuesday. Year 9, Wednesday. Year 10, Thursday. Year 11, on Friday. Now the year 7s really take it in. They're innocent. They take any example you got. Yeah. And by the end of the week, the year 11s are like this. Oh boy. Not going to impress me. So you just got to do it. But I've got a chance to share the gospel this week, to tell them that Jesus was a real person who died on the cross for their sins. Now I'm going to have to choose my words carefully. So really, I'm just asking for prayer for this week. About nine. I've got 9 o'clock ish, or 9:05 till 9:15. And if there's loads of notices before by various teachers or teachers telling the kids off for about 5 minutes, then I've got to restart again. So probably 10 minutes. But we repent, We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust in him, when we know for sure that he died on the cross for our sins, when God reveals everything what Jesus did, we repent, we believe and trust in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you know that God is pleased when we trust, when we repent of our sins. It says the angels rejoice in heaven. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is pleased with us. All that filthy rags and dung, God doesn't even see. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God is pleased. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. God is not up there with a big stick for his children. He is there to encourage us to cut off the branches that don't bear fruit so that we can be cultivated and that we can grow, and he can see us grow in him, that he's really pleased with us in Christ. Hallelujah. Is that good? Tell your faces. You can't smile in church. It's all right. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, believe. Now, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. When we really trust in Jesus, we'll speak about him, or we'll want to. Out of the heart, when we're squeezed, that's when it comes out. When we're in trouble, we'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have an opportunity to share, we'll take it because we want to speak to people about Jesus. It's easy for me because people ask, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. And then they'll ask a few questions and I've got the opportunity. When you say I'm a plumber, it's a little bit more difficult. But when Jesus is in our heart, when we have our faith and our trust in him, we will confess. You know, when we're under pressure, our heart comes out. You know, Jesus on the cross, he said 7 things. Most of them were thinking about other people. Even when he was in agony, when he was squeezed, crushed, out of his mouth came love. But that's a whole another sermon. Repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water. Another B. Be baptized in water. Baptism in water was the norm back in the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized. 3,000 people baptized that day. I wonder what it was like. Got a sore arm. I wonder whether they did it like that or whether they all just plunged in. It doesn't exactly tell us, but if they did it like us, I wonder if they had a team of people there. But the point is that they were baptized. It's our faith in God that saves us. The thief on the cross next to Jesus didn't have time to be baptized. Jesus said to him, today I'll see you in paradise. Well, I think the act, the obedience of every Christian, if we're looking at biblical terms, you get baptized. On the day of Pentecost, it was right there and then. People got baptized. In the Bible, in Matthew it says, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts it says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we baptize, people say, baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's biblical to be baptized. It's an act of obedience. I think it's the first act of sanctification, of your obedience towards God. Yes. It was the normal way back then. I don't know when it crept into theology within the church not to, but the Bible says to be baptized. An outward act of what has happened inwardly. It's a public declaration. I belong to Jesus for the rest of my life and for all eternity. Like a marriage, like on that marriage day, you do it. You get baptized because the scripture tells us to. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Like Peter said, repent and be baptized. Acts 22:16 says, get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. It was the normal way. Jesus, who didn't need to be baptized, was baptized. His ministry didn't start until that point. He met with John. John baptized him. He came up out of the water, and then the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him. And that's when his ministry began. He didn't need to be baptized. He was the one who didn't need to repent. He was perfect in all of his ways. But he did it to identify himself with us as sinners. And when we're baptized, we identify ourselves with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, as Romans 6 says. It's just obedience towards God, looking at the scripture to be baptized in water. Rubber. RBBR. It does sound Irish, doesn't it? I'm glad you came tonight. The last one, receive the Holy Spirit. So in salvation, every sin is washed away. Everything. Jesus' death was enough to cleanse us, to make us whiter than the snow. Now we can have a picture of that these days, can't we? We've had a bit of snow recently. I'm not talking about that snow down the farm that's been dirtied by sheep and all that, but when you look on the hillsides and it's white and your eyes are like, ooh, Jesus' death makes us whiter than the snow. And we know we can go boldly before the throne of God because we know that we're washed whiter than the snow. God does not count our sins against us. In that way, we are like a vessel that has been cleansed. All the rubbish has been poured out, we've been cleaned. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's like we're filled again with all the goodness of God. You remember when I spoke a couple of weeks ago about joy that God wants us to have? That Jesus was joyful, and the joy set before him endured the cross, knowing that a redeemed humanity would be his treasure, his joy, his pleasure, his fellowship with us. Is that not good? That he does it with joy? Even in the book of Jude, it says about us, I'll just get the verse. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That Jesus did it with joy. That a redeemed humanity is his treasure. That us in Christ before God, God loves. Everything about us, a redeemed us, God loves. God loves you with a depth that you cannot imagine. He did it with joy, and he wants to fill us with his joy. Anybody remember old Irish Jimmy that used to come to the church? He used to laugh at everything, didn't he? He had had a painful life. I think he had lost two wives, had died, and a daughter. And yet God had given him a joy. Everything he just laughed at. Even in the sermons, he would laugh a lot, wouldn't he? Every joke he would tell, he was quite good to have around. Even when the jokes were bad, he would laugh. He was filled with joy. If you look through the book of Acts, you will see that believers received the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before he went to heaven, he talked to his disciples about the Comforter who was to come. And then he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit had descended upon them. God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He talks in the New Testament about being filled with the Spirit. Filled to overflowing. If we don't get filled with the Spirit, basically, we've got cleansed and we're like an empty vessel. We no longer have the pleasure of sin, but we no longer have the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's called religion. But God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. This was the pattern of the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit came and filled people, enabled them to do all that God had called them to do. Two baptisms, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's lots of instances of this. In Acts 10, it talks about Cornelius. And Peter, an angel came to see Peter. And Peter went to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And God revealed that the Gentiles were now to receive the Holy Spirit. He told Peter to go to Cornelius' household. And the Holy Spirit came upon the household of Cornelius. And they began to speak a new language. They began to speak a heavenly language that was from above. Right from the beginning of this church, people have spoken in another language that is not their own. In my private prayer life, I speak in another language that is not my own. The Bible talks about groanings too deep for words. The Spirit helps in our infirmities, for we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of God, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's one time Claire and I were in Ireland. In Northern Ireland, in Dungannon, not too far away from Cookstown. And we were speaking with my cousin and his wife. And we're just speaking about the things of God and about the end times. And in a way, we were getting a little bit fearful. And my cousin's wife, all of a sudden, burst forth with a word of tongues. She'd never heard tongues being spoken before. I'm not sure if she's done it since. She was as surprised in herself as anybody else, but it just came like, boom, like that. And immediately Claire knew what God was saying and shared it with everybody. Case Farm Fellowship, years and years ago, they were a church, they were a group of young people that met together that knew that, and they knew that God had something more for them. And again, they'd not really heard other languages being spoke out in church. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and began to speak in a new language. And from that, a ministry has been born. Their church has never been very big, but they support orphans all around the planet, especially in Asia. Thousands and thousands of children are looked after physically and spiritually. Thousands have come to Christ through that ministry. The Cross and the Switchblade, David Wilkerson. You know, his life was a life in Christ, put there from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jackie Pullinger again went out as a young, as a teenager, out to Hong Kong. And she prayed in another language for 15 minutes every day. She prayed for those drug addicts by praying in tongues. All the government programs didn't do very much for the drug addicts, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, things changed and moved. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about how to use the gifts of the Spirit and how to do them. He said he wished that everybody spoke in tongues, but rather that they prophesied. Now, he did say that he wished that everybody did. But he said, be cautious because of what the outside think. It's to the outside world, a strange phenomena, but a gift that we are to use. I found when I prayed in tongues, I did it quietly in my own room. I still pray quietly in another language. I feel that my prayer life opened up from when somebody laid hands upon me and prayed that I received the Holy Spirit. And now pray daily in another language, because sometimes you just don't know how to pray. You just come across a situation and you don't always have the words. But if we're looking at scripture about how the New Testament church started, this is how it was. Now, it does say in Corinthians as well that one day tongues will cease and prophecies will cease, but that's in heaven. Because in heaven, we'll all speak one language. We'll just know it. We'll all speak to each other, whether it be Hebrew or something like, I don't know. We'll all understand each other's accent, even the Irish. Hallelujah, yes. Yeah, we need help there, don't we? Says one day prophecy will cease, but when we're in heaven, we'll be in eternity anyway. But we'll still have, it will be a spiritual place. All the other spiritual gifts will be there. We'll instantly know things about one another. We'll have words of knowledge. We'll know. Like when we meet King David, we'll be able to find out what he did and the bits we did we don't find out about in Scripture. Are you looking forward to those days? Yeah. When Elijah went up in a chariot, what that was like? Did he have the wheels lowered? That sort of thing. We'll just know. But we can have a glimpse here and now if we're looking at a scriptural basis for the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. If we look at Scripture, this is for us. Whilst we're still in a battle in this world, we have a gift from God to be filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us to do all that we're called to do in Christ. Repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized in accordance with the Scripture, and receive the Holy Spirit. If anybody's not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's pray together. I'll lay hands on, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Just recently, there's been people who've had that desire and have been able, God's given them that language. And I have explained it like this before, that I believe when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of tongues. Sometimes we've got to exercise it. Like I went back to my room and I just began to speak, and to begin with it seemed really weird. But it's become natural now. And I remember just my way of thinking about it, about speaking in tongues, is that we have it downloaded within us. You know, I was going to a football ground one time, and it just so happened I'd borrowed a sat-nav off Ian, and it broke down at the hotel, and I thought, oh, how am I going to get to this ground? They're going to be there on time. And I'm like, because the manager's behind you. If you turn around wrong, you'll hear about it. The whole coach will be yelling, like, yeah, you're going the wrong way, because sometimes they have their little sat-navs. But on my phone, I had like Google Maps on there. It was downloaded for years, but I didn't know how to use it. And I thought, I'll try that out. And I put it on my dash and I plugged it in, and we got to the ground, no bother at all. I had something downloaded on my phone that I didn't access and use. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we're downloaded with a whole load of things and gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible does say some gifts, some people excel in some gifts, they're gifted in certain ways, and others have other gifts. But I think the gift of tongues, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have it. We just need to exercise it. It's a gift of God. Use it. He wants to fill us, to give us all these good things. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the scriptures. Lord, you've shown us a way and a pattern. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will be able to break free from our way of thinking and look at your way of thinking. I pray, Lord, that you give us your Holy Spirit, empower us to do all that we're called to do, and it be like on the day of Pentecost. Lord, will we see you move in a mighty way? Yes. I pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom to reject all that is false and all that tries to sway us. But I pray, Lord, that you lead us and guide us and direct us. And I pray this, that will be a church that is filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A couple of things I just as I was praying, and I forgot to mention, that there has been an abuse of the gifts of the Spirit within the church body as a whole. There have been movements and people who have gone outside of Scripture. I think everything, the Scripture is our plumb line. And there are things to watch for. Like there's been movements where a lot of people have fallen over backwards. And I don't ever see that in Scripture. I see where people repented and got down on their knees. And I think us being reserved Brits don't often do that in front of other people. But I think that's okay because it's scriptural. We can get down on our knees. I think it's okay to speak out in tongues at the right moment because it's scriptural. I think there's things that have happened. We always got to look at Scripture. When somebody prophesies, it even specifically says in the Bible, and this is for you, do not despise prophecies, but test. We need to weigh them up. We've had prophecies in this church. People, God can speak to people today, but we've got to test everything with Scripture. I also think there have been people in the church who've shone away from those because people have abused them. But I think if we look at Scripture as a plumb line, people had hands laid upon them. In fact, just going to read out this one Scripture to finish off with. I think this shows us that Paul set to order a little bit of confusion in the church. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So he said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So they had, Paul expanded their thinking. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul laid his hands upon them, and they spoke with other tongues, and they prophesied. Shall we sing together?